Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys. And you know what? In case you've been sitting there going, where are they? Well, we've been right here just waiting for you. And hopefully you kept your patience up, eh?
That's the key. You've got to be patient.
You know, it reminds me of the 10 virgins, right?
Yeah. Some were ready.
Some were ready, and others were not.
Or not.
So if you've been waiting patiently by your phone or your online service, and you got your oil ready to light your lamp.
Yes. And your lamp's full with oil to spare.
Then you're here.
Then you're here, and we're all together again.
We got to quit using this electronic lamp, though. You know, let's go old school. Let's go back to the old, you know, stick the oil in it rather than plug it into the circuit in the wall, maybe.
Keep me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me oil in my lamp. I pray. Hallelujah.
Boy, we're going.
Come on, Gus. You don't know that song?
This was way. Now, this was when I was a kid.
Sounds like the old-timey revival hour here on the Three Wise Guys.
Give me gas in my Ford. Keep me trucking for the Lord.
I hadn't heard that one.
No, I've never heard that. That's awesome.
Gosh, you guys.
That's great.
I know.
Yes. So, yeah, lots of interesting things going on.
Put a wave under my board. Keep me surfing for the Lord.
It's more current.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't get a smile off you to save my life today. What's up?
What is this? It's my frown turned upside down. Come on.
Wow. Hey, so you know, we have some things here planned for you today. It's going to be about 10 minutes shorter program for you today, but maybe you're going, hallelujah.
You can hear the applause.
Yay! So, but you can call in and talk to us. It's
503-589-1220.
That's right. And we're the wise guys here on Hebrew Nation Morning Show. And it's just a blessing to be here. And we're hoping to have a great conversation today. You know, we were just praying before the show, and I always tell Rick and Gus here that, hey, if we don't get on the air today,
yeah,
I still love talking to you guys because, I mean, we started on a topic and we're going, yeah, let's learn about this one. And I'm going, cool. I'm ready.
Yeah, so we're having the conversation whether you join in or not. And I don't know, is that selfish, guys?
No, we want them to join. We want you to join us.
Yeah.
503-589-1220.
Yeah, I mean, we really need to hear from you. What is Father speaking to you? You know, it's tumultuous times out there.
Yeah.
There's not many folks that aren't, there's a few, but not many that aren't having some kind of struggles, are there?
Yeah.
Or even ministries.
And
know?
One of the struggles that we thought we'd kind of run by ourselves today was...
hold on. I'm looking up America Idol and America's Got Talent because there's just so many interesting people out there. Go ahead.
Like, who just won? I mean, do you actually know?
Well, you know...
Oh, is it over? Is this season over? Somebody just won?
I don't know.
I'm totally out of touch with that.
Oh, man, I can hardly wait to know who won because I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy their CD.
Well, and I'm going to follow them online and Facebook. And Twitter. There we go. Oh, boy.
I just love them.
Yeah. In fact, I probably will paint my bedroom the color that they prefer.
Oh, really?
Their favorite color. Uh-huh. Would you do that?
I would.
Uh-huh.
Wow. you guys.
Yeah.
Maybe even buy the same kind of car, wear the same kind of clothes.
Oh, man. Hey, what's the best car out there right now? I mean,
best just, car? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Let me search that one too. Oh, we got internet back.
Oh yeah, we do.
Oh yes, internet's cool. I live for the internet. That really helps me out a lot there too. Let's see the newest car.
What would happen if the internet went down? I think I would die.
No, you wouldn't die.
Oh, oh yeah,
yeah.
I couldn't exist.
Would that be though another Tower of Babel scenario? Would we not be able to communicate? Yeah. If it went down?
I know, I wouldn't.
Would we be able to go to the bank? Would you be able to go to the gas station? Go to the store?
Well, so you're supporting Roland in that we have to have it. We'd die without it.
No, I'm just saying, no, it would just be a little confusing. Our lives would change, but maybe it wouldn't be all bad.
So if you didn't have the internet, you didn't have your best car, you couldn't watch American Idol.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, living.
Would you be okay?
I don't know. What about you, Roland? Could you exist? What if you didn't have your smartphone?
Oh, that would be a problem.
Oh, my gosh.
And if I didn't be able – I have a certain show I just love to watch at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And if I don't see that show, I mean, life just quits existing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you don't get the 8 p.m. show, then how do you even go to bed or do anything else after that?
Well, I learned how to record it, so now I can – now I don't have to live without it.
Oh, good.
I can actually catch up on it. I know, right?
Man, I was worried there for a minute.
I was too. You know, and this morning I had to get up. I mean, the electricity was off and I just, boom. I mean, my eyes just woke up and I had to leave without breakfast. And without breakfast, I have to have breakfast at 6:30. And if I don't.
You have to have breakfast?
I do.
Messes up your day.
And my whole day is messed up. I don't know.
I so know what you mean. If I don't have my shoes laid out a certain way the night before and then. Like, there's dirt on them,
uh-oh.
And they're in exactly the same, and I don't have that routine. I just can't function normally.
Oh.
Whoa, you guys.
Oh.
Are we getting a little set in our ways?
I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but have you ever, you know, I still remember when I was at church, and they forgot to open with the regular opening hymn, and it just destroyed my day.
I went to a different church.
Oh, really?
Yep. Just because of that.
Just... It bothered me so much. I mean, everyone knows the opening hymn, that's what's bring us into the church. And if they don't start with that opening hymn, everyone is talking way too much.
Well, even if you go beyond that, and if the music isn't just right, if it doesn't inspire me, and in you know, sometimes the worship band up there,
yeah.
the praise folks, they're just off.
And yeah.
I just don't feel the spirit when they're off, so
yeah.
And I tune out.
And that other group that came in, they looked way too professional. In fact, they acted like, you know, that they were really something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't something to me.
You guys are concerning me.
I do. I can count on Rick.
Yeah.
I can count on you, brother.
I know.
I love it.
Some things never change.
So, guys, when do traditions, when do our ideas, our routines, the things around us become idols?
Yeah. That's a great question. Are you asking everyone, including us, that question?
Exactly.
So why don't you state it again? This is going to be our topic, I think, today.
When do traditions, when do our own ideas, when do our routines, when do we ourselves and the material things that we put so much, quote, faith into become our idols?
And can we overcome them?
Ooh, that's even a better question.
Or should we? Should we even overcome idols, or
maybe we need them?
I'm thinking that maybe we might need them because we're human. I mean, human needs something to look up to, right?
Yeah, and we're flawed after all, so yeah, we got to have something.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise life is just confusing.
It is. Hey, do you guys have any jewelry? Let's bring it together. Maybe we can melt it down and, I don't know, make a little internet computer thing or something.
Is anyone even listening?
They are. They're out there.
I'm listening.
Are you? Do we want them to listen?
You know, life's an opportunity to be lived, isn't it?
Every day's an adventure.
It is. And sometimes that adventure is a challenge when, you know, everybody seems to be zeroed in. 43 million people watched American Idol last night. And really, how many people read their Bible? Let's have that stat.
Oh. Not enough, for sure.
Well, we've had the stat of how many people buy Bibles, but but we don't have the stat on how many people read them.
That's the key.
It's tough to get that information.
Yeah.
But, you know, even going down the idol path,
okay,
the Bible itself,
could
that,
be an idol.
That book can be an idol.
Oh, yeah, because it looks really good on my bedstand. And I want everyone to know that I do have a Bible.
Yep.
And it's by my bedstand, so they know that I read it every night.
Or even better, we put it on the credenza. Because the credenza is out in front of the room where everybody walks by.
What is a credenza?
A credenza. I don't know. You got to say it that way.
What is that?
It's a piece of furniture.
Oh. It's a furniture.
Yeah.
I used to build those, didn't you, Gus?
Yeah. I should know what a credenza is. So do you know what a credenza
is? Yeah, we have one.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
You don't have a credenza?
No.
Oh, Roland.
Yeah, it's just a little.
Everybody needs a credenza because life's not complete without a credenza.
I have a table, but I didn't know that that was a credenza.
Oh, it could be both, maybe. I don't know.
We are talking about idols.
Yeah.
If you haven't gotten a hold of this, let's ask that question again.
Okay, can traditions, can your thoughts, ideas, the material objects around you, the way you do things in your routines become an idol or idols? And what is an idol? Do we need them?
And what's wrong with them anyways?
Yeah, and if so, then how do we change that paradigm?
Yeah, because we're thinking almost as humans. In fact, we'll take this other side, almost as humans.
We're partially human.
Yeah, partially. Almost as humans. That we need an idol. Boy, did I say that? We could be in trouble with that.
Good.
Yeah. Do we need an idol to operate? I mean, you have kids, right?
Yeah.
Can your kids become idols?
Sure. I mean, I just love them to death.
Well,
right?
Well, we know what idolatry is, right?
Do we?
Do we?
Don't we?
I don't know.
Anything that comes above our Creator.
Okay, see, when you say comes above, what do you mean?
Is we put more, I guess, importance, if you will, upon that thing, whatever it is. Well, I think even the way we eat can be an idol.
Good point.
What do you think? I mean,
so
can
food, yeah.
Food, we know for sure food can become an idol.
So the way you eat also?
The way we eat.
You know, like how you lift the fork to your mouth kind of
thing?
Well,
no. The types of food we put into our bodies.
Uh-huh.
Which is, we know it's all important to have the right kind of fuel to go into our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we put it above our relationship with Him?
Or our relationships with each other. I would say that maybe the first is the most important commandment is, love Elohim,
right?
Second, love your neighbor. So if it's more important for me to eat a certain way rather than be in relationship with my neighbor, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would think, I don't know. But, I mean, there's a fine line there, Roland, isn't it? Because you're pretty strict on which kind of fuel you put into your body.
Well, there's the other side of love your neighbor. You have to finish that, Gus. Love your neighbor as
yourself.
And I've known some people that go, if I don't have a cup of wine before dinner, I'm
not doing well.
I'm not eating dinner until I have that. I mean, really?
Not many, I bet.
I don't know if that person really loves themselves. I don't know.
So these are all things we need to discuss over the next roughly 3 segments.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, tough topic that we really need your help in. We're going to go into a break in a moment. When we come back, please gather your thoughts and call us at
503-589-1220. Yeah, and we're going to talk about idolatry. Don't worry. We'll look at Scripture. We're going to have some prayer with you, too.
Yes.
When we come back, and we're going to open some things up, and we would just love to have you being part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is idolatry? What does that look like? How do you deal with it?
Yep, so turn off American Idol, turn off the radio.
And turn on the wise guys.
There you go.
Yeah, we should be your idol.
Sorry.
We're crossing the line.
Excuse me. I did not say that.
No. That was your out loud voice.
Sorry. It was the unthinking one. I'm not able to think well because it's like I have Dad in the room. I mean, you ever have Dad in the room?
Kind of looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
I hope I don't do this wrong.
I want to make sure I do the proper thing.
So, get your neighbor online with us. You know, there are ways that they can do that.
Yes.
You can get on HebrewNation online.net. HebrewNationOnline.com. Or
at HebrewNation.
And that way you can you can get a hold of us via
email.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the Wise Guys. We're just glad to have you here this morning. It's always a blessing to have a conversation with all of you. And if you want to converse with us, it is
503-589-1220.
We're talking about idols. And what do they look like? You know, are they important for us? Are they not important for us? And do we carry them? You know, I'm curious, and as we get into scripture here today, we're going to open that up and find out something about idols if it's there. Mm. And but as always, we have a tradition.
It is a tradition.
Maybe that's an idol. I don't know, but I don't think it is. But
communication with our Creator.
No.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful
thing. In fact, without it, things will really get. I'm going to use a cattywampus.
A cattywampus?
Oh. We'll get very cat. We'll get topsy-turvy.
Okay.
If we don't have that communication with our Creator. And I think it's so important, more than we even realize, that power that comes. And I know that our adversary, the evil one, does not want us to have to realize the importance of having that communication with our Father, but
wait us out, Rick.
We need it. Let's pray. Precious Abba, Father in heaven, we just thank you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for everything you're doing in each one of us. Father, just walk with us today. I just thank you for your word that tells us you never leave us nor forsake us. So we can wander off a little off the path, Father. Help us not to do that. Help us to stay right in the center of your will today. And to help us to walk as Yeshua walked when he came and you laid your life down. And Father, because of that, we can face this day and tomorrow. And Father, we just ask you to be with our time together today. May your heart go forth to all of us, Father. Help us to know without a shadow of a doubt that there's nothing outside of your span of control. Help us to realize that, and help us to have that blessed assurance that we're headed for the kingdom. Your kingdom come today, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we just thank you, and we dedicate this day to you, that your name through each one of us would be exalted and lifted up and glorified. In Yeshua's name we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
What do you got, Gus? You're looking up something?
Yeah. Little children, keep yourselves from idols.
Oh,
it's pretty simple.
John.
That's John.
It is. Yep. You open on.
John what? What chapter?
Well, that is, let me see here.
That's First John.
Yep. John 1. So it's 1 John 5:21.
5:21.
And I'm sensing, Roland, that we may have to read a little before that.
You think?
I think you better go ahead.
Let's do it.
Well, let's start off in 1. It's not that long, and we can maybe trade off.
Okay.
Everyone who believes that Yeshua is the Messiah has been born of Elohim, of God. And everyone who loves the one bringing forth also loves the one having been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and guard his commands. For this is the love of Elohim, that we guard his commands. And his commands are not heavy, because everyone, having been born of Elohim, overcomes the world. And this is the overcoming that has overcome the world, our belief. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim? Verse 6.
This is the one who came by water and blood, Yeshua, our Mashiach, our Messiah, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit, the Ruach, who bears witness, because the Spirit of the Ruach is the truth. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of Yahweh is greater. For the witness of Yahweh, our Elohim, is this, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. And the one who does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the witness that Yahweh has borne concerning his Son. Verse 11.
And this is the testimony that Elohim has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of Elohim does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of Elohim, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of Elohim. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. And if anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. That's kind of interesting.
All righteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that everyone having been born of Elohim does not sin, but the one having been born of Elohim guards himself. The wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of Elohim, and the world lies in the wicked one. And we know that the Son of Elohim has come and has given us an understanding, so that we might know the true one. And we are in the true one, and in his Son, Yeshua Messiah. This is the true Elohim and everlasting life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Keep yourself from idols.
Doesn't that seem weird? Okay, it doesn't seem like he's talking about idols.
Sure doesn't, does it?
And then he throws in that little line at the end. That's really fascinating, because he seems to be talking about one topic. He's talking about the word of life. In fact, at the beginning of 1 John, he says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld, and our hands handled concerning the word of life. So he's seen, holding, beheld, heard, word of life. That's how he starts it off. And then he ends with, little children, keep yourself from idols.
And it seems like he's doing a little contrasting in there, doesn't it? The world versus not the world. Elohim, God.
He knew that it was going to be that those were going to be stumbling blocks, don't you think, for his children? That these things, these cares of life, that we sometimes make idols because we put them in such high esteem, that we get kind of things out of balance, don't we?
Well, he's only speaking, he seems to me to be speaking truth about one thing.
Yeah.
And that's the Messiah.
Right.
Okay? And that if we keep him number one,
and by doing that, we keep his statutes, his commandments.
Okay, so if we do that, then that's what we look to rather than something else. Because like Gus was saying, there's a contrast.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, keep yourself from idols. And it's done at the end of the book.
Yeah.
And it's only, seven words? Little children, keep yourself from idols.
Six words. Yeah.
To end the
in English, chapter. Right? I haven't looked up to see how many in Hebrew, but still, it's short.
It's short.
Yeah. Kind of sounds almost like 1 Corinthians 10:14.
Wow.
Therefore, my beloved ones, flee from idolatry. Mm. 1 Corinthians 10:14.
So what's around that one?
Well, you know, we've got the same thing. He starts off the chapter, you know, and once again, this is man's construct chapters. But, you know, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, right? Because all of our fathers passed under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. Well, not literally, but, you know, figuratively. They all drank from the same spiritual rock. That rock was Messiah. So we have the same focus there, mm-hmm. don't we?
Hmm. In verse 16, it says, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Yeshua? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Yeshua? Since there's one bread, we who are many are body. We all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? What do I mean? Well, thanks, Paul. Thanks for putting in the question, because I was going to ask, what do you mean, Paul? I mean, what's up with you, man? He says that a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything, question mark? Yeah, so he's even asking the question we're asking today. Mm-hmm, what's an idol?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We're kind of on track. Maybe.
The Apostle Paul questioned.
What's an idol?
Yeah. And that's what we're trying to get our arms around today.
Hmm.
Call us,
503-589-1220.
Yeah. I mean, we need to hear from you.
Rick.
Are you out there? We need to hear what Father is speaking to you.
Hmm.
You know, and we've all had stumbling blocks, haven't we? We all have. Yeah. We've all gotten kind of out of whack, if you will, about, you know, in our priorities. Do we always put him first?
Hmm.
Unfortunately, not as often as we should.
Well, I'm amazed that Gus has not asked, well, where did idols begin? And I'll bet you it's maybe all the way back in Bereshit.
I got to believe it's in Genesis.
I love
sure. Right in the beginning.
Yes. Back to the beginning.
Well, look at when she looked. He's one commandment they had. Don't eat from this certain fruit. Just one. Yeah. One.
Oh, so you're starting even earlier
than
what I was
thinking. I'm starting right in the beginning. One commandment. Don't eat of this certain. You can eat of every other fruit, but this one.
But if you eat of this one,
see?
Then you would be like a god.
You know,
knowing everything.
That's what the evil one taught.
Good and bad.
Eve?
Yeah.
He told, you know, you can be like him if you just. She says, well, it does look appetizing.
Oh, yes, it looks good.
Oh, man, that would be one commandment, Father.
And so did they raise up the mm-hmm. desire for that fruit above him, above Yahweh.
Well, about what his word was. Yeah. So was the fruit an idol?
About his word. Interesting choice of words there.
So it's amazing. Mm-hmm. The first sin ever committed
on the earth
was around food.
There was a covetousness. How do you say that? Covetousness. The covetous.
She did, and she looked at that, and she said, wow, shoot, it does look like it would be appetizing for her.
Yeah.
And what did the adversary, the serpent, say? Well, if you have it, you can be like him.
Mm-hmm. And knowing everything.
And then what did she do?
I want to know everything. I want to know.
Well, and she added to the word, she says, he said, if I shouldn't eat it or touch it. Well, he didn't say touch it. He says, don't, in the day that you eat of this, you shall surely die. So many things to think about, his word.
Well, I am hearing two things that are idols right off the bat.
Okay.
Number one, the idol of the beautiful looking fruit.
Yes.
And
yes.
I want it. And then the second one, the idol of knowing more than anyone else, because you can be like God to know than anyone. So idol number two. Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, you know, am I?
Well, or there's the idol that I know best for myself.
Mm.
Not someone else. You can't tell me what to. You're not the boss of me. Any parent ever
you're
heard that?
You're not my boss.
You know, there's an interesting thing there, too, that points out that that's a ungodly area.
Mm.
Because if you'll notice, just before that, those verses where the Nechash, the serpent, comes in, it's Yahweh, 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 and then it's Elohim, 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 and then it goes back to Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh after that. Really interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe you have some comments about this at
503-589-1220.
Yeah, what does an idol look like? You know, then later on, I'm finding out that, you know, there's two people by the name of Cain and Abel.
Yes, right? Yes.
And Cain brought what he thought was appropriate, all of his produce.
Look at my produce. It's good. It's awesome. It's much better than Abel's offering. I mean, mine's big and it looks great. I have all sorts of colors and everything else. And what's wrong with Abel over there? I mean, he's just putting a lamb down there and going to sacrifice that. What's up?
Wasn't he able to grow animals?
He was able.
Yeah, that was look, this idol has to do, look with what I produced.
Yes, I.
Look what I made. I. Okay? I think that's amazing.
We got to be careful with that I stuff. This is not working out good for me. Don't we?
Yeah. I wonder if that's what it means when John was talking about children, keep yourself from idols, or is he talking about just an image?
Well, you know, there's this aspect that when somebody says idol to you, what do you think of right off the bat? First thing.
An image.
A little sculpture-y thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like
gold.
Kind of like the teraphim that Raquel had underneath. Was that who it had? Under her camel.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she stole her father's little idols, little statues, put them under her saddle.
Sat on them. That's a good thing. Sit on them.
They're good for something. Ouch.
Yeah, is that part of maybe what cut her life short? Yeah. Who knows? I mean, we'll never really know, but it's kind of interesting that her life was cut. And she was not buried with the patriarchs, was she?
Yeah.
Kind of interesting. Well, Lots of things to think about.
Well, and along that line, so what kind of animal was she sitting on?
An ass?
A donkey?
No, a camel.
A camel. Oh, that's right.
She was on a camel.
Okay.
And what's another word for... what's the Hebrew word for camel or firstborn?
Oh, okay, you got me there.
Help us.
Bakor. That's Hebrew 1060 in the Strong's. And that comes from Hebrew word bakar, 1069, which means camel or first fruits of the womb.
Interesting.
So she's sitting on idols that are on the first fruits of the womb.
And the camels also, so there's a tie-in. The Hebrew's pointing us to, hey, there's more of a meaning here.
So there's a picture here that we want you to get a hold of.
Yep, exactly.
That's why they wrote it.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting also, just by coincidence, that this Torah portion's, what's involved in this Torah portion?
That's coming up for this coming Sabbath.
Yeah.
Shabbat.
Yeah.
Well, we have a thing that, you know, the kids are all leaving out of Egypt. And they're all looking forward to it, and they're heading out the door, right? And then Yahweh comes in, and he tells them something. You know, he tells them that they need to start thinking about a Passover and that their first children belong to him. They're firstborn.
Firstborn.
Mm-hmm. And that those that don't have the blood over the doorposts, those firstborn will be
killed.
Yeah, they'll be dead.
Yes.
Yes. Morning. So I got to put blood over my doorpost to protect my firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
But then later he even goes on and says, well, your firstborn are mine anyways.
Yep. Tie that in with 1 John. Who's he talking about? Messiah.
Messiah. Who's,
right?
Oh,
1 Corinthians?
Right.
Messiah. So does that lead us down a path of that everything that isn't of Yahweh Messiah, that we aren't holding him, if we aren't holding him up above everything else, everything else is an idol, perhaps.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if I like the jeans I'm wearing today and they're my favorite?
Don't take them off now. But.
How well do you like those jeans?
Yeah. But this actually makes me
kind of
nervous.
Are you okay if you don't have those jeans?
I mean, but you're putting guilt on me, and I don't know if I want to feel that. I mean,
maybe guilt's an idol. Seriously, I'm not being
silly. See, I'm getting psycho just talking about idols.
Mm-hmm. Maybe psychos being... No, I'm just kidding.
Guilt, an idol?
Sure, because some people are comfortable in their guilt or comfortable in their despair or comfortable in that angst, whatever it is. You know how that...
Yeah.
I'm comfortable in my prison in Egypt. Hey, I had good food there.
In fact, let's go back to it.
Yeah, so we had to work hard and get our own straw and put them in the bricks.
At least
stuff.
We had the leeks and the melons and all those
at least
other
we could
things.
Have those leeks, right.
Lots of things.
Okay, come on. You guys got to admit you're having fun with us, right? A little bit? I don't know.
Yeah.
Are you out there? Out there? Out
yeah.
there.
Is there anybody out there? Please call and help the wise guys. 503-589-1220.
Should we even be worried about idols? I mean, idols to me always look like the... What is it? What's the little golden guy?
Little Buddha guy.
For Hollywood, for, is that Grammys or Emmy?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, the Oscar.
Oscar, yes.
I can't help you with
Oscar,
that.
Oscar, yeah, he's cute.
Is he?
Cute little Oscar.
They actually made him into a transgender, okay, which actually kind of.
Oh, God.
Well, he doesn't really have any form. He's just, he's cute.
Huh.
He's golden. Or he, she's golden.
Well, yeah, be careful how you use those pronouns. It's golden.
It's golden.
Silence is golden. You ever heard that?
But we always, yeah, I have. You know, but why did, like, Gus had asked the question, how do we view an idol? And I guess that's
usually
how I've always viewed it.
Usually not in a good way.
Yeah, something hard, a wooden thing, or
a physical
gold thing.
Object.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why he told us in the, you know, don't make yourself graven idols and worship them.
But that's what he said. Okay, so are we going down the wrong path? Because he says, don't make yourself a graven idol.
Yeah.
And even if I go back to 1 Corinthians 10, before Paul talks about these other things that he's talking about, he says, do not be idolaters. So that's 10:7.
Mm-hmm.
As some of them were, as is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and stood up to play. And he's referring right back to Sinai when they made a golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now let's get to the Ten Commandments for fun. Let's stir up the pot.
Exodus 20.
And let's see what he says. Okay. Yahweh spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven. Now some of us who've studied Torah scrolls before, know that there's not little numbers put in front of these words. There's not a 3 and there's not a 4.
It wasn't in the original Hebrew.
No.
Oh, man. That was one of the things I held on to, too. So now I don't believe any of it.
So is he talking about, is 3 mixed with 4? You shall have no other gods before me, comma, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what's in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, comma, the Lord your God, am a jealous God visiting the iniquity. So why, I don't know, maybe I'll take the position. I'll be brave. I'll take the position that idols are only those things made by our hands.
What? Really?
Well, I'm going by the Ten Commandments. It's an all-in-one phrase.
We'll just stop at number 3 then, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, there is a period there. Well, there wouldn't have been in the original Hebrew.
No.
But in the English, there is.
Yeah, and we don't like English anymore. So
we're English people, so we're speaking people, so we got to follow the English.
And besides, I didn't see the period because my glasses weren't just right.
Excuse after excuse after excuse. I tell you, you have no other mighty ones against my face is another rendition.
Ooh.
No other.
Mighty ones.
Anything that's more, like Rick was saying at the beginning, nobody that's more than me.
Exactly.
Yahweh.
He is the one. He is at the head.
Yeah, because I don't want to worship another mighty one or idol, but it's not talking about the things that I do or the things that I go or
it
the places
be,
I
it,
eat.
It can be. It can be.
Okay.
Anything you do.
Look up idol in Hebrew.
What is idol in Hebrew,
Gus? Let's see if we can get smart here, or smarter.
Teraphim. That sounds like an idol word, doesn't it? Teraphim.
Teraphim?
Yep. That's the Strong's number 8655.
Okay.
Right? And it comes from the root 7495, which is Rapha, which is very interesting. To heal, make healthful, or cure national defects or hurts. It's
what?
Curative. I know. Isn't that interesting? Mm.
An idol is curative?
That's where it comes from the root. That's what it says. At least that's what Strong came up with.
Oh, so God doesn't want us to have something else that's curative. He wants to be the curative person in our life.
He is the cure for all of our ills, isn't he? But if we think we're the cure, if in fact technology can make it happen and cause us to have all this plentiful blessing, and do we need another God or do we need technology?
Oh, so that's what you guys might be meaning, is that if I'm finding a cure outside of God,
stay.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys as we try to decipher what is an idol and how does it affect us? Does it affect us? And should we even be concerned about it? We count on you a lot, and you can be part of the conversation as well at
503-589-1220.
Yeah, and maybe we're all washed up, and you want to tell us so. You guys are nuts, man. What is going on with you? But anyways, this conversation kind of got me going because there was someone who slipped a note to me a few days ago, and they slipped me an article. You want to know what it is?
Sure.
What was the article?
Okay. Hang on tight. The article was written by a man by the name of Andrew Wilson. He's a teaching pastor at King's Church London. He's written a number of different books, and he's a Christian author, and he's has like 3 PhDs. And he made this statement in this article that he wrote. And again, this was a parody made to make us think. Okay. So don't go thinking that I'm knocking some author here. I'm not. I think he brings up some great things for us to think about. Okay? And he said this. Conservative theologians, many of whom are friends of mine, often miss this point in the cut and thrust of debate. But for those who love Jesus, it should be at the heart of the discussion. Jesus had no problem with idolatry. He included everyone, however many gods that they worshipped. Okay, so let me repeat that again.
Mm.
Okay, now you got to listen to this carefully because I think there's some real meat here. Okay, I think it's awesome. Conservative theologians, many of whom are friends of mine, often miss this point in the cut and thrust of debate. But for those who love Jesus, it should be at the heart of the discussion. Jesus had no problem with idolatry. He included everyone, however many gods that they worshipped. If we want to be like him, then we should adopt the same inclusive approach.
Can I ask a question?
No.
Okay. So, is he saying that we should, Yeshua that is he saying that we should accept the little g gods or accept the people?
Well, that's the question that arises here, I think. Now, I don't want to get too awfully heady. Now, you were saying we should accept whom?
The people.
The people, no matter what idols that they worship.
Right. And accept meaning love our neighbor?
As ourself?
Yeah. Mm. That doesn't mean I'm accepting their gods, does it? Or does it?
No. I think we can't accept their gods.
Really?
No. But we can't hold them to our standard either, can we?
They're not held to our standard because I was reading this morning in Romans 8 that, let's all go to Romans 8, and for the carnal mind, minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against Elohim, for it is not subject to the law of Elohim, nor indeed can be. See, it's not so. Point being, we cannot hold our brothers that, oh, no, I'm not going to call them our brothers, people that aren't in Him, we cannot hold them to our standard. Do you think?
So is that kind of like, for those that are perishing, the word of the, I forget how it goes, but is foolishness.
It's foolishness.
The word is
foolishness. Yes. Yeah. So in Psalms 2, it says, I think two different times, only a fool would say there's no God. Mm-hmm. Only a fool would say that.
Okay, so different standards.
Yes, different standard to hit for His people.
For different folks.
Okay, but even...
For different folks.
So that other God, so even a fool would say that there's no God, but we're, in that context, it's the God rather than God's, because like Mr. Triple PhD guy said, mm-hmm. he said, well, you accept Him, you accept other gods, or...
Well, he found that nowhere in the Gospels does Jesus, Yeshua, even bring up idolatry. Mm-hmm. He doesn't bring up idols.
Mm. Okay. We haven't studied this out ourselves. We're just quoting what he said.
Well, here's another kink for you, because you other people. Well, let's use Jacob's wife, because you guys brought him up before.
Rachel.
He had a wife who still had gods with her.
Stole her father's idols, right?
Right.
And kept him close to her.
But is that maybe why her life wasn't... Question, that maybe why her life was cut short? And she wasn't buried with...
Really?
Abraham? I don't know. I'm a question. I'm not saying anything except asking a question.
But Rachel was not Jacob's first wife. And the first wife...
Leah was the first.
And the first wife always has the power in the household. So if we go by Middle Eastern culture at the time, why would Rachel be buried with Jacob? Because he's not the first wife.
That's a good point.
You know, we always like to think that it might be idols, but in actuality, it could have just been the order of things.
That's a good point. Yeah, there's just a lot of questions, aren't there? I mean,
okay, so let's go there.
Right?
Okay,
yeah, let's go there.
So I'm going to add an element to this that we may take us apart, and we can always come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Does Messiah ever say, "Pray to me"?
Does he say, "Pray to me"?
Yeah, pray to me. Use mine. Pray to me specifically.
Well, in Luke 11. He gives us an order because his apostles. In fact, you guys want to look it up?
Yeah. Let's go and Matthew 6, too. It talks about Sermon on the Mount. Remember, it talks about when you pray our Father.
So let's go like this.
So Luke 11 and Matthew 6, too.
Okay, so let's go to Luke 11.
Okay.
Then we'll go to the other one. I just love this. And I find it fascinating. Oh, yes, because this is really cool. Because before the chapter, Martha is distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But Yeshua answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, oh, you're so worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, there's only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her."
Hmm.
Now, this is the lead-in to chapter 11.
Yeah.
So it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he'd finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples." And Yeshua said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." Pretty soon, he said, pray like this.
Our Father.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
But he also addresses Martha, 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 you're missing the point. You're a little busy maybe keeping your idol, but it doesn't say idol. It just says she's busy.
But there's an implication there, isn't there?
There is an implication.
Yeah, that my routine, what needs to be done is more important than the risen Savior or the people around me.
Yeah. Hmm. That's interesting that he tells us that. And then he goes on later, he tells them, and he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. You know, and he goes down this friend path of a friend would listen to you, and a friend would answer the door. And it even finishes up, he who knocks, you know, he who seeks finds, he who asks receives. Mm-hmm. I mean, so prayer, I don't know.
Some people, and this is, I don't subscribe to this view, so I want to go on record as saying this, and I guess that neither of you would either. Some people would say that, well, when you pray directly to Yeshua, let's just say Jesus, because that's, you know, Jesus, etc., he never says to do that, and that might be holding him up as an idol over the Father. There are some people on the internet that say that.
Now, but if you see me, you've seen the Father. You've seen me.
I agree with that. But that's interesting that some people have that, even take idolatry to an extreme.
You know, I'll go back to the article here again, and I'll quote him. He said, again, but let's catch on why. Because this is, again, a parody. Jesus had no problem with idolatry. So let's just take that phrase alone. And I would have to ask, well, why would Yeshua have a problem with idolatry? Because he is God.
Yeah, he was the Mashiach.
So why would I be worried about anyone else?
I don't know that I'd be worried about anybody else, but I would be concerned for my people who were being led astray by something else.
Okay, so if they're led astray and they finally see me, notice the next phrase he says, he included everyone, and I'm going, well, why wouldn't he include everyone? Because he's not afraid of other idols. He's not afraid of other small g gods. Okay? He included everyone, however many gods that they worshipped. If we want to be like them, then we should adopt the same inclusive approach. So I'm thinking to myself, I want to minister to others. I want to include them. I'm not going to be worried about their small g gods because I worship the big G. I worship the big Yahweh. So why would I be worried about them? Now, does that mean I include them in my practices? I don't want to include little Baals in my practices.
Wouldn't you get the argument by some that, well, if I accept them, I'm accepting what they believe and what they do. So I'm giving my credence to that by accepting them.
Well,
how do we win them over if we don't accept them? Just where they're at. How are they going to want to come the way of the Master if we don't accept them?
Yeah,
right where they're at. Because we cannot demand that they do what we do.
Yeah, I don't ever see you, Rick, being worried about someone else's theology or little g.
Because I'm not worried about that. Because
you are so going, this is what I believe.
This is what I try to go back to the guidebook here.
Okay.
We're just all people of the book, aren't we? So if something, if people are teaching something contrary to the book, I think that's when we have to really start with, this gentleman that you were reading about. To me, he was kind of tweaking a few things there.
Yeah.
And, you know.
No, but what I mean is, Rick, is I don't see you bothered by a person who doesn't believe likely you. Because you're so gung-ho on.
Well, we know what we believe.
Yeah, and that's okay, right?
And I think that's. Yeah.
So you aren't bothered about a person that shows up to you and go, you know what, Rick, you know, I'm an atheist, and I don't believe in your God. In fact, I worship my Ferrari that I just spent $500,000 for.
Well, you have, that's your prerogative to do that, and I hope it works out okay for you.
I knew you'd say that.
You know, sometime that person's going to be in trouble and he's going to need answers. And not necessarily that we have, but we know the one that has them.
Mm.
And, we just got to pray for those people, don't we? Because unless the Holy Spirit, calls them, knocks on their heart.
I like what you just said.
What did you like?
At some point, they're going to realize.
They're going to realize. Or they're going to have a need. Usually it's in their need.
It's a need.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and if we look at Israel coming out of Egypt, there were points when they had a need.
Yeah.
Like when the big Pharaoh came after them with an army, they realized that they needed something else.
That's right.
Okay.
Where are we going from here?
When they realized they didn't have daily bread, they realized they needed something else.
They needed bread.
Yeah, and when we become empty, when we realize that our mansion maybe didn't save us, and we're still dealing with issues, we need something else. Oh, I love what you said.
Yeah, our stuff's not going to save us, is it?
Yeah.
That's why I really believe that. Well, but they left Egypt with riches.
Stop.
They left it with riches, didn't they? The people of Egypt gave them.
Mm-hmm.
They're gold and silver, so they left, seems like, pretty wealthy, didn't they?
What did Yahweh use a lot of that wealth for? I mean, that's the question I would ask, Nick.
Yeah, I mean.
Most of them used it for the temple where he resided. Remember, they brought all their gold and things like that. And they also used it to buy off their neighbors at times.
Yeah, that's the currency of the time, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, eh?
Gold. Recite some of that. Want some gold.
Well, and that could be, Angie texted in, and that could be why Rachel had the idols. Maybe they were made out of silver and gold. That's the inheritance.
Oh, that's right.
Good point.
Because remember, they were leaving house that had shorted them money and all kinds of possessions, and it was her inheritance. In fact,
But it seemed like I read some account. I don't know if it's one of the alternative books of Jasher, one of those, that those idols gave them insight, and that she may not have wanted her father to have it where he would know where they went. I don't know. Just so many things to think about.
Yeah, they could have cast them in a flat bar, the shape of a plate.
Yeah, I don't
know. So would they still have been idols?
Yeah,
or do they have to be like little images with faces? And
not necessarily faces, but some kind of image.
Carved
image of some type. Who knows?
Yeah, could have been like a brick form.
A lot of things to think about, though. I mean, it's so interesting.
Jacob said this, okay? And now you have indeed gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house, but why did you steal my gods?
Yeah, see?
Okay.
That was his god.
You longed greatly for your father's house. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, lest you take your daughters from me by force. The one with whom you find your gods, little g, shall not live in the presence of our kinsmen. And Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban goes in, looks through the tent. And then he doesn't find anything, but then Jacob gets angry.
Yeah.
He says, what is my transgression, What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? Though he felt through all my goods, what have you found of all your household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen, your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two. Wow. These 20 years I've been with you, your ewes, your female goats, blah, 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 blah. You didn't pay me?
Yeah, served you all those years.
Okay, and you're worried about this. Okay?
You still don't trust me.
And now you would have sent me away empty-handed. So maybe there could be a reference that this could be money, too.
Yeah, who knows?
But it's interesting. Later on, Jacob has all of them take gods and bury them from the kinsmen. I'll find that for you. Because there's even people within the household that had it. Remember that? I'll have to get to that.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So go back to the images statement. There are some people that don't have pictures, art on their walls of critters or whatever.
Because they think that's an image or an idol.
That's an image. So is that right? Is that wrong?
What do you think?
Well, we had one. We had some friends that were, she collected dolls. And had one brother that said, you shouldn't have those dolls.
Bless him.
Really? Really? I mean, I don't know. But I think we have to be careful, don't we? Especially with people that aren't maybe as far along as we are or something. How we address, am I the toy sheriff? Am I the one that dictates what's, you know, whether it's a little G.I. Joe or a little Barbie doll? I'm the toy sheriff here. I'm going to, you know, I think we got to be careful, don't we?
I've seen because some of those dolls, and they've kept their value better than gold.
Have they?
Yeah.
They love those Barbie. Have you seen the Barbie lady?
No, I, yeah.
She has Barbies all over her car.
Yeah. Just for those of you that don't know, there's a car that a person drives around in, and they got Barbies plastered to the whole car.
Oh, there must be a 200 or 300 Barbies on that thing. The Barbie lady.
Yes.
Oh man, yeah.
So what do you guys think? I mean, is it that minutia?
I think
which is what I think this guy was trying to address in his article. Because remember, he said this is a parody. And even at the beginning he says, don't take this to heart.
Right.
But go ahead and take it to heart.
Discuss it. Have a conversation about it, right?
Yes. You know, so I'm, you know, taking people where they're at, I think is critically important.
I think that's the key, and not, you know, not hold them to our standards, especially people that are new in the faith, the people that are, especially people that have come over from the church that didn't, you know, we see things a little bit differently, don't we, than we did when we were, and, you know, I think we just got to be careful.
You know, if something is an idol, I think we need to get back to basics. In fact, Rick, you had said this at the beginning, before anyone is hearing this conversation.
Uh-huh.
You said, Roland, we just need to keep things simple. Okay?
Think basics. Back to the basics.
Mm-hmm. Back to the basics. And so if we go back to the basics, to that one-liner that we started off with, and that was in 1 John 5
right.
at the end, little children. And it's amazing to me that he calls us little children. Okay,
we never became big teenagers. We're always children.
Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And it's at the end, after he's expressed this glory and the magnificence and the oneness of the Messiah. Okay, that it's all about the Messiah.
Okay. It's all about him.
And if you're not doing that, then it must be, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And that
pretty basic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really pretty simple.
And I'm almost in agreement. As we're talking about this, like with Gus, it could be anything that puts a priority. So if there's someone who puts a Rembrandt above Yeshua, and they can't lose the Rembrandt, then that would be an idol.
Yeah.
But I still love looking at pretty things. I'm going to look at pretty things. But if all I can do is look at that thing and I can never get down on my knees and pray, or just pray.
Yeah, if it comes above him.
What do you think, Gus?
The wheels are spinning, Gus. Mm.
Is that
okay? What should be above him?
Nothing.
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 That means everything else is not above him.
Below him.
So what would you give to make sure that nothing else was above him?
Ooh. Are you saying we should give everything?
Isn't he asking for all of us?
I think he's asking for all of us.
And if there's anything that stands in the way of that, shouldn't we give it up?
Oh. Okay, notice. Is it in Luke? Okay, we have to find it. They describe him as the young ruler. No, it wasn't the young ruler.
The rich young ruler.
Yes. And the ruler comes to him and he says, I've done all these things. I've kept all your commandments. And the Lord says, have you done blank, blank, blank? And he goes, well, I've done all this. And then Yeshua says one more thing. So
give
up all your money and go.
sell all your things and give to the poor.
So he didn't tell all of us to do that, but he told him that.
Yeah. Right. Because that was the idol, perhaps?
That's what
I'm
thinking.
That was in the way.
It was in the way.
And it could even be beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Could it be my Maserati, my Lamborghini?
Could it be my very life?
Ooh.
Hang on to that.
Don't go away.
Back once again with the three wise guys. We are having one tough conversation. It's fun, but it's, wouldn't you guys say it's kind of tough on
it? Can be a little
idolatry, and what is it? And is it our traditions? Is it something physical? Not boy, they.
Oh, lots of questions. Lots of questions.
Boy, they. You know, hey, it is weird. I mean, it can be the simplest of things. I mean,
and should be.
And it should be.
Let's simplify, like you and I were talking about.
Yeah, simple's good, you know. I don't, better just leave that one there.
You know, I would like to address the other area. I mean, I've seen, you know, we talk about images, we talk about things that we desire or want. But what about those areas of words, you know, that we use to people and say things like, you know, why aren't we having this in our fellowship or this in our fellowship, and I want to see this and I want to see that. And do we ever talk about those things and how it might affect others? Mm. Do we think about others before we say them?
Mm.
Do we include others? Or is this or that more important than the general assembly itself? So take, for instance, if you're meeting in a home and you want to see a certain thing occur, do we ever ask about certain things like, well, do we want to see forgiveness occur? Do we ever see things like, do we want to see understanding occur? Do we ever say things like, we want to see, I don't know what I'm saying, but.
Well, you hear the thing. Why aren't we doing what Yeshua did? Why aren't we raising the dead? Why aren't we healing the sick on a regular basis?
Yeah.
And that's the ever, we all heard those questions.
Yeah, because, you know, as a former pastor, I would hear things like, well, the pulpit can't move from this corner to that corner because that's where the pulpit's always been. And if we move the pulpits, it's really going to be a mess. Or, we have to sing this particular hymn. If we don't sing, if we don't sing this hymn, then it's not the service.
It's not going to be good.
Okay, but we even do that in our Hebrewness. Okay, even in our home groups and stuff like that, we have to have dinner at a certain time, or we have to have this at a certain time. But maybe we should have a schedule, right?
To a point.
But a schedule become a god that.
Key right there.
That
you
if
hit
we
it.
Blow it.
If it doesn't work, if Father's plan is a little different than ours, we have to be able to adapt. We have to be able to adapt because it's not a perfect world. There's circumstances that happen that if I don't eat my grapefruit at 6 in the morning, this is not going to be a good day.
Ruins my confidence for the whole day.
Yeah,
you know
I mean, really. I mean, there's some people that are that regimented in their routine. And that, to me, that's very concerning to me when we have to be that exact because it's not a perfect world. And I think if we're that set in our ways as this thing unfolds, whatever it looks like, and it's gonna, I mean, things are gonna change, we know that. And things are not gonna work out like we
think it needs to.
Oh, yeah.
And if we can't adapt, if that zaps our joy because we don't get our breakfast at 7 in the morning, we're going to have a real difficult time.
Yeah.
Don't you believe that? I do. Well, I mean, I really do.
You know, in the Hebrew side, I'm not talking negative, but I want to talk positive too.
No.
I've seen some people, like when it comes to the Passover, we have to do the Seder in a certain way, in a certain length of time. Well, again, I'd have to ask, well, was the Seder itself, was it really pictured for us in the Torah? Some parts of it were, but not all.
Exodus 12 tells us, gives us guidelines.
Yeah.
And if, you know, I think there was a few things that he says you needed to do, right? We needed to have our sandals on, our staff in our hand.
Get ready to go. Need,
yeah.
So which one of you had sandals on the last Seder?
I don't know. I think my sandals were closed. I don't think I had open-toe sandals on that one. So, you know, point being, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, whenever we say it has to be this way.
Yeah, it's got to be 3 hours.
It's got, you know, I think maybe we're getting in the way of allowing the Spirit, you know, to maybe do something a little differently than what we have planned. And is that okay?
Yeah, because on the flip side, you know, one of my favorite authors was Tony Campolo. He's a sociologist.
Oh, yeah.
And he deals with people and sociology and how we interact with one another.
Okay.
And he brings up the idea, he says, we're always so, we want to get rid of traditions so much, being in the freedom of Yeshua, that we forget that many times that traditions bind us,
mm-hmm.
like kind of like glue.
Bind us together.
It's what keeps groups together, you know. So there's a good side of it, but when it becomes so absolute, then what happens to us if it doesn't happen that way?
When it starts to, in my opinion, when it starts to destroy relationship, either with each other, with our Creator, or turmoil within ourselves, we need to take a real close look at that.
Yes.
And discern through the Spirit. That's tough.
Yeah.
Because someone may be discerning through the Spirit, no, this has got to be this way. And somebody's on the polar opposites discerning, saying, no, Spirit tells me it's got to be this way. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a different way to do it, but do we divide over that?
There you go.
It usually does cause that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It can. It can.
Maybe it's because we want our own way.
That can happen.
I've done it my way.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a song about that?
Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Elvis.
No, was it Elvis? Frank.
Was it Elvis?
No, I think it was Frank Sinatra.
It was Frank that first sang it, and then Elvis sang it.
Oh, I didn't realize Elvis sang it.
Oh, man, Elvis was quite the idol. I mean, people loved that boy.
Elvis Sinatra. Yep.
Yeah. Do you actually know that Elvis is selling more records dead than what he did when he was alive? Did you know that?
Yeah, the starving dead artist thing. It is.
The starving dead artist.
Yeah. If you want a starving dead artist, your stuff won't go for as much normally, right? You got to be long gone. Great. Well, maybe I leave it for my heirs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
You know, I asked a question just before the break.
Yeah.
You know, could it be that our very lives are something that need to be dedicated? And would we be willing to give up our very life because he is supreme over everything else in our life, more than our families, more than everything but my own life? Does that kind of remind you of a scripture maybe in John?
Look it up.
No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends.
Yes.
John 15:13.
Read it again.
No one has greater love than this, that one should lay down his life for his friends. And then 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you.
You reminded me of another one. Look up Luke 9.
Okay.
Okay. And this is 57. And this is when a lot of the disciples were following Yeshua, called him, you know, hey, teacher, you tell us what to do, etc. So Luke 9:57. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Yeshua said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And Yeshua said to another, follow me. But that person said, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Yeshua said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another one said, I'll follow you. But first, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. And Yeshua said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. And now after this, he appointed 70 others and sent them on their way two by two. I mean, it's amazing what he says to him. The harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. Wow. Carry no purse, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. That doesn't sound like a fun job.
Doesn't sound very accommodating and hospitable. I'm going to talk to you. I got my thing to do here. Go on.
I know. What are you talking about, Yeshua? Hmm. You know? Did they set up? You know,
they didn't have all. I got to get all my things together before I can get ready to go.
I think I disagree with the author that we were talking about before, because he said that nowhere in the Gospels does Jesus mention idols. Now, he doesn't, and Gus had brought this up before the break. He doesn't give it specifically, but he sure gives a lot of examples.
Yeah.
Okay, with the rich young ruler, hey, give up your money, follow me. Mm-hmm. And the ruler's going, don't know. Don't know if I can do that one.
So maybe part of our question is, how much are we willing to give up for him? Truly willing. You know, if somebody says, hey, Gus, you got all that pile of wood in storage. Are you really willing to give that up? Well, no, I like it. I want to build furniture out of it someday, and I got plans for it.
I need that wood.
Are you really willing to give it up?
Yeah, you had said, are we willing to dedicate ourselves? What is that? So dedication would mean?
Holy giving over to.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
This is a tall order.
This is tall.
This gets right into our humanity.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that's why he's going to maybe have to take us into the wilderness, maybe?
Maybe that's why we're challenged.
To make us totally, totally reliant on him? Just a question.
Well, and those can be different kind of wilderness experiences, can't
they? Right.
You know,
that's
whether
right.
It's our finances. Electricity went out this morning for you, Ralph.
Things were dark.
It's 6:30. My eyes go boom.
Everything's dark. What's going on?
Where's my alarm?
Where's my clock?
I'm a little disoriented here.
Hey, Gus, Rick, man, I'm going to be late.
Look like you just jumped out of bed. Do that every day? Just kind of like pop out?
Oh, I look magnificent every time I...
You look marvelous.
Every time I hop
out of bed. Glad somebody does.
So Rick said something earlier, and I know we're going into the last 10 minutes or so.
So you can call in if you want.
Yes, good point. 503-589-1220. Or you can call 503-589-1220. Didn't want you to miss it.
Yeah, I like that.
Is there anybody out there? I know there are.
Today?
Oh, yeah.
I know there are.
Yeah, both of them.
Go ahead.
So Rick was talking about, you know, as long as nothing gets in the way of Messiah, as long as nothing gets in the way of our Creator, maybe we need to be looking at this as a steadfastness, knowing that it's a journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
There, I've arrived.
No.
Because unless I'm willing to give up my very life for him, literally, I haven't arrived.
No.
I haven't gotten there.
When you talk about that, the thing that came to my mind was, this is a personal thing. I would hate to be the person trying to point out, you know, when Yeshua said, hey, take what, the log out of your own eye?
Right, before you worry about somebody else's splinter?
Yeah. Take the forest out of your eye, right? Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're on a path trying to show everybody else what their idol is, I would be pretty cautious.
Yeah. Really, yeah.
I just would.
Be real careful. Slow to speak, quick to hear.
Yeah. So, Yeshua, you know, we talked about this, I think, during the break. Now, I can't remember. It's a sign of old age. if Yeshua was on earth, if we were on earth at the same time as Yeshua, would we see him? Would we recognize him? Would we be able to peel away those idols? Well, he's not here physically on earth right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have his word. You know, yes, he's the word, but we have his written word. And I wonder if, going back to the steadfastness. Some people at the beginning of the year are trying to get rid of steadfastness, but Colossians 2:5.
Uh-oh, Colossians.
For though I am absent in the flesh, Yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your belief in Messiah. Now I'll back that up with Hebrews 11:27. By belief, he left Mitzrayim, not fearing the wrath of the sovereign, for he was steadfast as seeing him who is invisible. And one last, just to kind of encapsulate it, 2 Peter 3:17. You then, beloved ones, be forewarned. Watch, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the delusion of the lawless. That steadfastness seems to be critically important.
Well, it lines up with 1 John 5, because 1 John is telling people to be steadfast in their love and their understanding of the Messiah. And then he ends up with, little children, do not worship idols. You have to be steadfast in the Messiah. You have to be steadfast in what he's asked you to do. Man, that's steadfastness. Is there Hebrew pictures for steadfastness?
No, there probably is.
I'll give you a moment
to
see what that is. You know, if you have some comments, we are running very short on time here. And if you want to become, you can write us an email at the number 3.
Wiseguys.
At
HebrewNation.net. And you can even call in to us this morning, 503-589-1220. Yeah. We do enjoy hearing your words.
And
there are many people who write to us, and we try to take everything to heart and include your comments for each conversation we're about ready to have. So, yeah, we do value you, so keep them up.
Yeah, and we need that input. What kind of shows do you want to hear? What do you want? What subject matter do you want us to discuss? And because there's so many different areas, you know, and I know that we just need to be lifted and strengthened, and
you know, in an age where
encouraged.
Yes, in an age where we're constantly inundated with information, and we've talked about this before, there's still a need for us to have affirmation, and so many times if we're scattered abroad, these radio online things help us to come together.
Yeah.
You know,
connects us.
It does.
Yeah, I really believe the evil one wants us to be out there alone.
Sure.
And you know why? So he can whack on us. See, and that's when we need one another, because we all go through different challenges at different times in this walk. And man, we have a lot of people going through them right now.
Oh, yes.
Man, we're praying for a lot of our brethren that are going through the fire right now as we speak. And we got to remember to lift each other in prayer on a daily basis.
So I think that every time we find one of those idols in our lives, we just need to put our hand on our forehead and go, oh, man, because that's the Hebrew word for sure or steadfastness.
Really?
Oh, man. Aman.
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 Yep, it's Strong's number 539, to support, confirm, be faithful, uphold, nourish. That's interesting. But let's take it back to the ancient Hebrew, which is even more interesting.
Paleo.
So we've got this pictograph of water or some other liquid like blood. And then the seed, which is the picture of a seed. And combined, that means blood continues, or we pass along to the next generation, a continuance of, like, you know, a child comes from the parent. There's a continuation.
Oh, you mean like what he tells us happens in Exodus 20 at the Ten Commandments? Remember, that's part of the idolatry thing.
Go there.
So, and I'm going to come back to what you're saying. So, but I just want you to see the children thing, since you brought it up. You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. It's included in the idolatry section of the Ten Commandments.
Amazing.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
You know what's amazing?
Whack in the head.
The third and fourth generation. I mean, that's, boy, for those that hate me. I mean, that's sobering.
But well, so our heritage is so important, isn't it?
You know, I'm surprised you even go to the positive side of that. How many generations for those that love him and follow his commands? A thousand.
Yeah.
Thousands.
And three to four, the ones that hate him. So,
You know what I found? And I don't have all the stuff here in front of me because I was talking about this last Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
But the end of the Lord's Prayer ends how? Lead us
not into
temptation. But deliver us from evil.
Yes.
Evil meaning the idea of away from God.
Yes.
So if I take that phrase, lead us not into temptation to move away from you, Father, what would cause us to lead us into temptation? Well, notice Pharaoh is described as evil because he hardens his heart.
Right.
So as we look through life ourselves, we could be led thinking that there is no God because of our circumstances or because of our idols. Okay? So Father, at the end of the Lord's Prayer, lead me not to harden my heart.
Mm.
So I'm not led into evil from you. I don't want to be separate from you.
Amen.
Okay? And many times when we get discouraged or hurt, we start blaming God for that. So we're being led into temptation to separate ourselves from Him.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense on the prayer, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yeah, He wants us, we separate from not just Him, but then His people.
Yeah.
See, we have to be so careful of that, to not let our offenses get in the way. You know, to
put up a wall.
Right.
Oh, I put like that. Those our walls. Fences. Offenses.
Right? Our fences.
Yes.
Our fences.
Yes. Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Is it a fence or a wall? Oh, I guess that's down on the border of the United States and Mexico. That's a different fence and wall situation.
So we got in your way. Amen. Aman or amen with the steadfastness is that whole idea of?
Of blood continuing, generational continuing. We take from where our Creator is, and we continue His image of the way things should be done, not our own. Just like in the people leaving Mitzrayim, you know, after Passover, we've got this section where all of a sudden He starts talking about the firstborn and how to redeem a donkey, etc. It's like, why? What is that all about? Well, it's important because the firstborn were just killed. Ah, the firstborn that didn't follow Him.
Mm-hmm. Dedicate these firstborn.
Mm-hmm. These are mine. I am the Creator. Don't think you made these kids. Nuh-uh. Mm-hmm.
They aren't idols.
No, they are not idols. They shouldn't be.
They're mine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, steadfastness. So the good side of the steadfastness is bringing all those positive things forward. Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
His commands, His word,
His love,
His truth, His love,
His compassion,
His salvation.
His forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if those are idols, those are good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, beautiful.
Well, I don't know if you can call it idols. Really, can you?
I don't know.
If they're held up above Him, they would be idols, right? By our clear definition.
Yeah, if they're held above Him.
Yeah. But if they are Him.
If I love others more than I love God, I got it backwards, don't I?
Yeah, you would.
Number one, love Elohim, right?
Right.
Love Elohim.
Your mind, soul, strength, etc.
Oh, wow. This has been good today.
This is good.
Yeah, it's caused me to think. and to reconsider my actions of what I hold dear.
Mm.
Really?
To hold on to these things in this life very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
it is just a spit in the bucket.
We took nothing in. Spot. We're taking nothing out.
Yeah. I came into this world naked. I'm going out naked. Well, maybe not.
Leave us with that. Oh, dear.
Well, maybe they'll dress me in something, you know?
Oh, yeah. You'll be in your best duds.
But then they'll rot off of me, and I'll be like dust.
Yeah.
Dust in the wind.
Dust
in
the wind. Started. Just where I was going, yeah.
Dust will return.
All we are is dust in the wind. Da-da-da.
Who was,
you're such a hippie.
Kansas.
You're such a hippie, man.
Can't you tell by my long hair? Well, Rick had big hair. I had big hair.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My big hair might have been my idol back then.
Oh, it was.
Seriously, yeah. Got to keep my hair. My hair.
Yeah. We would get in front of the mirror forever
and
blow dry it and gel it. And it was an idol.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Now, built for speed. One swipe of the towel and I'm out of there.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Gus, he's shaved his head. It's just a little stubble.
Oh, no, you didn't shave it.
I've just got a density issue.
Yeah. Is it number one or two?
Number two. Quarter incher, yeah.
Quarter incher, yeah.
It's a quarter inch stubble.
It is.
Quarter inch stubble. And we got, and Rick has what, about an inch and a half?
He's
got a nice head of hair.
Oh, I used to, but it's,
yeah. I wish I did.
You're right in the middle.
Yeah. The hairline is in the middle of the head.
Now, I wasn't thinking.
All right, so guys. Yeah. We want to thank you for being with us. If you want to get a hold of us later, do it and let us know how you're thinking and what you'd like to see covered.
Yep. You can do that at the number 3.
WiseGuys@HebrewNation.net. And if you want to listen to more of this kind of stuff, get on the Hebrew Nation online radio. Find out about it.
Have a blessed week.
Shines, the darkness must flee, the darkness.